The Angling Club Minutes, unofficial. The Angling Club committee meeting was over, but the fire was still good and the bus to be caught by our outlying members was not due for half an hour, so Hughie began to describe a recent experience. "I had a permit for a nicht on the Bargairley water," he began, "and I went over about a fortnight ago with a good box of docking grubs, for the keeper had telt me ye day that there was some grand sea trout running. I took two or three brushes in my basket tae, and that was my mistake."
"Brushes, Hughie?" queried the purist.
"Aye, brushes," Hughie replied testily, "or screw taps, if you like. Mind ye," he added, "I'm no in the habit of taking drink when I'm fishing, but I believe in seeing to it that a keeper gets what he likes." There wasn't much day in that nicht to begin with, and when the keeper come along, we got talking, and the crack was good, and when he left me, the bottles were tim. Things were still gey quiet, and no fish moving, and I had just sat down and lighted a cigarette when a good fish splashed in the dark, out by the far bank. I drop at the grub a yard or two abin the rise and let it come down to him. He took it quiet and canny, but when I hit him, I shin ken what I was into. Man, he went up out the water like a shot for a gun, and for the glint I got to him in the rising min, I'd say he was 5 pun if he was an ounce. Up and down he went, and back and for it, and I'll guarantee you I was sweetened by the time he was tiring. But I broached him in at last, drew the road back over my shoulder, and put the net into the water ready for him. When, without any warning, the road strachened out, and he was awa. I couldn't believe it. I kent he was weel shockit, and I felt to see if the shock had broken. There was nae shock. There was nae cast. I felt along the road, and there was nae line. Then it dawned on me. If my head had been as clear as it should have been, I'd have dropped at the cigarette when that fish took me. But I had it in my left horn all the time I was playing that sea trout, and at the last minute, it had burned through the line. Hughie joined in the laughter, and Duncan smilingly remarked, "That's just about enough to make you sign the pledge, Hughie."
No, Duncan. Hardly that," was the reply. "But man, I'm seriously thinking of giving up the smoking."
"You'd do much better to give up grub fishing," said the purist. "What's wrong with a fly for sea trout?"
"I've telt you before," replied Hughie, with a long-suffering sigh, "that I can and will fish the flea when I think it's dayin. But it's only a half-wit that would keep lashing a wall with a flea when it's no dayin."
"But did you try the fly at all that night at Bargairley?" persisted the purist. "Or did you just begin with your poacher's method?"
"Speaking of poaching," broke in Tam, to forestall the development of one of our periodic good-humoured but lengthy purist versus Hughie wrangles. "Did I ever tell you about the nicht Badger Thompson went to blow the Bailey's pill?" Our negative replies gave him the signal to proceed. "I will," he continued. "The Badger's deed in a war, so there's nae harm in telling it noo. He was an uncle of Jock Thompson's, and it was Jock that telt me about it, for he was there. He was only a laddie at the time, and Badger would whiles tak him out for a nicht at the rabbits. He had a good wee mongrel terrier that could nip a rabbit in the breckens the neatest ever ye saw. And money a dozen Badger took with the wee dog off the Marquis's grun. Badger was a grand old fisher tae, and he could tie a cast of speeders that would kill trout onywhere. But the poaching bit was aye there. And this nicht I'm telling you about, Badger kent there were two or three good salmon lying in the Baileys. He'd broke twa sticks of gelignite for number 7 pit, where he was working at the time, and he and Jock got down to the water just afore the darkening. They took a turn up and down the water side with a wee dug, to make sure there was nobody else about. But there wasn't a soul to be seen, so the badger started getting things ready. He had the twa sticks and a wee tin, and he shin fitted them up with caps and strum. He was aye a canny in, the badger, and he cut enough strum to give them about a minute afore the shot would go off. Then he telt Jock to get a wa up the bank and into the field. Lifted the strum, threw the tin into the deepest bit of the pill, and followed Jock up the bank. Now, just how it happened, badger never could tell. It might have been that a floating branch kept the tin from sinking, or maybe badger hadn't whacked at the tin with enough wee stains. Anyway, when he got into the field and looked back, there was enough light for him to see the wee dog coming for the water, carrying the tin in its mouth. Badger roared at him to drop it. He dropped it in the grass, shook the water for himself, then picked up the tin again and come trotting up the field with it. Badger saw there was only ye thing for it. He yelled at Jock to run, and the pair of them tore across the field with the wee dog trotting after them. Jock had a bit of a start, and he could run like a hare, but Badger reached the gate alongside him, and they had just flung themselves over it when the shot got off, no far ahint them. There's nae saying how far a war it must have been heard, but gie Badger his due, he went back to see what had happened to his dog. Poor wee beast. Aye fun was its collar, and he took that hame with him and buried it at the foot of his garden. And do ye ken, concluded Tam, for that nicht till the day deed, he never blew another pill. And what's mair, he never kept another duck.